Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Lisa Gardner. She's out with her brand new novel, When You See Me. The book is available now wherever your fine books are sold. She brings us back with Sergeant Detective Dee Dee Warren and Flora Dane, FBI Special Agent Kimberly Quincy. They are all together again. So, Lisa, as we jump right into this, what adventure do they have going now? Because I'm always bad at giving away too much.
So, When You See Me starts with skeletal remains found off this hiking trail in the secluded mountain town in Georgia. Basically, an entire FBI task force is assembled, and they troop out to this quaint little community and quickly realize nothing is as it seems. They've stumbled upon something way worse, and now all of them are at risk.
All right, that is better than I could have done. As these two characters have developed over the last several books that you've had, especially Flora Dane, as a survivor, and she's turned kind of an avenger, investigator, how has it been to develop her character, to make sure you don't develop her too fast and to just kind of let it happen organically?
Oh, goodness, you imply I know a lot more than I actually know. So I would say characters for me, I never planned on Flora being in more than one book. She was kidnapped for 472 days. She's a survivor. It was a concept I had for a book, but she just grew on me, and readers just loved her. Her edginess, her knowledge that she's broken, but she's trying hard all the time to do better. I think that's something we can all relate to. And so she's still on this journey, and I can't let it go. I've had three characters that readers have loved. You said Kimberly Quincy, Dee Dee Warren, Flora Dane. And rather than choosing for this book, I decided just to bring them all back. So there's something for everyone.
When Dee Dee Warren works with a Flora Dane, that survivor, does she have to do things in her mind to temper and make sure that Flora doesn't do anything foolish? Because she's coming at this from a different mindset than Dee Dee Warren.
Yes. Flora has inserted herself in formal investigations, and no cop likes that. So there's a perspective that Flora brings to things. And in this case of When You See Me, this is now very personal to Flora. They believe the perpetrator might, finding these answers might help her understand her own kidnapper, Jacob Ness. But, yeah, Dee Dee's not wild for Flora's, stabby first and question later style.
And then does it work backwards, too, that Dee Dee can learn from Flora? Because sometimes police find themselves getting too, tunnel vision about a case, and sometimes they have to take a step back.
Yes, Flora definitely offers a more unique perspective because of the victim. And, victimology, understanding the victim in any crime, is one of the most fundamental steps in police work. So they assist each other, and they push each other, and they push against each other. And I think that dynamic is what makes the interaction between basically all three characters a lot of fun.
One of the things I've loved about reading your books over the years is I know from talking to you and just from reading interviews that you've done is how much research you put into these. And you had a piece that you wrote about the research you did for this book. Can you tell me about the body farm?
Yes. So I'm opening a book with skeletal remains and When You See Me. So naturally, I started out with, well, I have all sorts of questions. How would you do that? What can you learn from that facial reconstruction? So I reached out to the Body Farm, which is in the University of Tennessee, and they're very famous for, they have done most of the cutting-edge work helping experts determine time since death of skeletal remains, everything from CSI, when you see the blowflies, and like, it's been 12 hours due to the life cycle of the larvae. All of that comes from the Body Farm. So I went with them with some key questions, including, what does a mass grave look like? How would you handle that situation? And as all things, the answer was shocking and sad, but also fascinating in how much they've learned and how much experts like a forensic anthropologist can do. So I brought all of that to When You See Me, and it was very sobering to walk Death's Acre, and I tried very hard not to vomit most of the time, and I hope readers appreciate that level of diligence when they're reading When You See Me.
Well, I've got to think it's weird as just as a human being, because I've seen dead bodies two places, in a funeral home and in a hospital bed, and that's it. So when you experience when you experience death outside of those settings, what does that do just to your human psyche and appreciation for it?
I really came away with a real reverence, and that's the thing that struck me. I mean, here, technically, Death Acres, it's on a university. It is part of a, you know, a scientific program to advance forensic knowledge, but there was a real reverence for both the space, respect for the people who donated their bodies to advance these causes, and have made significant strides in the investigation of cold cases, as we're all getting to see more and more on the news. And that really tempered how macabre it is, because you're right, I had only ever seen, you know, a body in a funeral home, and now they're hanging from trees, they're falling out of cars, they're partially submerged in water. These are real-life scenarios they're testing out to see how these conditions impact decomp. And in real life, it was very, very, sobering.
Did you learn anything at the body farm that made you change the what you were going to do with the story?
Absolutely. One of my favorite aspects of research is it really is amazing in the real world what, you know, the right forensic expert, police, just the tools at their disposal now. So, you know, I've come up with a premise for how I think I'm going to get away with, say, murder, and then I talk to the people and they solve my case in two pages. So, and at a certain point, it's like, how would you get away with murder? How would you do this? And, I mean, the things they can learn from just a single bone at the body farm blew my mind. So I had to definitely, definitely revamp my crime.
I'm talking with Lisa Gardner about her brand new book, When You See Me. The book is available now wherever your fine books are sold. Something your books also bring out is this whole idea of small towns keeping secrets. And it seems like the smaller the town, the bigger the secrets, at least in literature. And I know every town has secrets. But as you have as you've moved around the country and you've moved your plots around the country in different places, are these small towns the best place for secrets to be kept?
Well, given that I live in a town of 400, so if people, my neighbors at least read When You See Me, they're going to be like, wait a minute, a small mountain town off the Appalachian hiking trail, which is exactly where I live, but on the other end of New Hampshire. And yeah, I mean, a small town to me becomes also like a family. And we know families can keep secrets, right? The dynamics to me become very similar.
And one thing, I'm still thinking about the body farm. When you call down there, are you just cold calling and saying, I'm a writer, I want to talk? Is this something that writers do that you've heard about?
Absolutely. The truth is, in most law enforcement fields, they're not sitting around reading thriller novels. I mean, I can't think of any time I've ever picked up the phone and they've been like, oh, Lisa Gardner. But most law enforcement, if you're a taxpayer, you know, they want community relations. If you have questions about how things work, and I mean, those kinds of questions people like to answer. And the body farm, it was like, again, I'm looking to do research and learn about, you know, time since death, which is a term they use. And I think everyone wants to educate, and that avenue, and if you're respectful, because these people do amazing work, I mean, you don't want to waste their time.
Do you get the questions that, oh, can you put my name in the story? Those types of things? I mean, are people enthralled when they find out that you are a fiction writer?
I always make the offer. You know, they've given me of their time. I want to acknowledge them and be respectful. And if they would like to be in a book, or sometimes it's more like a family member or a pet or whatnot, you know, I'm happy to give some service back, because they've certainly, in many cases, they've given me hours and hours and hours of their time. So I want to be very appreciative of that.
You've killed people all sorts of different ways in your books, and it seems like it's a collection, it's an anthology of different ways for people to die. So as you get more creative, is that a struggle for you to figure out different ways to make somebody's life end?
Well, to be honest, I've been at this almost 30 years now. I think it's almost 30 books, or over 20 at least. So yes, there is some sense, wait, I've done that before, or the crime show's on TV. I mean, you want to bring something new and fresh for the reader. You don't want it to feel tried and true. That's one of the reasons I love the research. When you're out and you're talking to, like, the forensic anthropologists, and you hear the things they've seen and some of the cases they've worked, you start getting better and better ideas all the time.
Do you sense biases as you do the research, that certain people in certain segments will make their job seem more important than it really is, or won't tell you the full story?
I feel like I've been really lucky to talk to some of the best people out there. For a previous novel, I literally read an article in SWAT magazine on fugitive tracking. It's a guy who is an expert in old-fashioned tracking. He teaches law enforcement. I mean, I emailed him out of the blue, said, I'm not law enforcement. I'm just a suspense novelist, but I'd really like to learn fugitive tracking for a book. And he thought it was the craziest email he'd ever gotten. But he spent days teaching me fugitive tracking. I mean, I, if anything, thought he was very understated about his abilities. I think the really good people are.
You said you've been doing this about 30 years now, and so how's the book industry changed as far as your interaction with the readers? Because I would think 30 years ago, you're not, I mean, we didn't have Facebook and all that, but you're not having to interact. Now you're having to do a lot of promotion that goes along with these things. What's that been like and changed your process as you have to, you're out there more?
Book tours are still the same to me and still one of the best opportunities to get out and meet readers. Because otherwise, we do kind of live in our own little bubble. And it's nice to meet people who really are reading my novels and loving them, but also who just love books. So I'm about to set off on book tour next week. I'm so excited to see people, and I like to give them homework, too. So if you're a reader and you're coming to my event, bring me an author or a book you think I should be reading. Because that's what we love most, right, is getting recommendations from other readers on great books. And I'm happy. That, to me, is a constant. For 30 years, people love books. People still buy books. People are still fascinated in their libraries, their bookstores. And everyone is just looking for that next great adventure to read.
And, you know, you're like anybody else. You never have time enough to read everything you want. So how do you choose and pick? Because I know I have to choose and pick what I read. How do you do it?
I get sent a lot of books to give quotes for in this day and age, debut novelists, new novelists, other thrillers. It's really fun. I mean, I think it's one of the biggest perks of being a New York Times bestselling author is now everyone sends me basically free candy if you're a book lover. So you're right. I have stacks of books all over my house. I consider that, you know, a lifestyle. I've enjoyed reading the debuts and new books and seeing there's so much great new talent out there.
I know the feeling of being sent a bunch of books, so I always look forward when I get yours. This new one is When You See Me. It's the latest from Lisa Gardner. It's her latest thriller. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Go check it out. They are always just an absolute entertaining, thrilling book to read. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Brian.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
Keeps Georgia on